Hello, and I have to say happy holidays and Feliz Navidad, my friends. And welcome back to another glorious episode of the Ultra Nerd Podcast. I am your glorious host, as always, Zane. And before I continue, there are a couple of things I do want to mention. So, seeing how next week, somehow, is going to be the grand old Christmas Day, I decided I'm not going to post an episode next Sunday because after Christmas and everything else, I'd rather just decide to take a break. And not only that, because of winter classes for me going on right now, soon on the 28th, I might as well just like take a mental day break from thinking of different episodes to talk about for the podcast. The second thing I want to talk about is every time you guys listen to each episode of the Ultra Nerd Podcast, we are slowly building up revenue here and there. So in the future, you could help me pay for bills, putting food on the table, and flushing that toilet over there. And obviously, college books are sadly not cheap. But not only that, let's also try to make this a full-fledged podcast, shall we? So let's get on with the episode with Christmas specials. Now, Christmas specials are honestly something that you either gotta love, you gotta hate, or you gotta question in between. But you also gotta love them, you gotta hate them, or you gotta also question them in between because the ideas could be so outrageous that you think to yourself, who thought of it? But honestly, I would argue that sometimes this happens for most shows, either like a movie series or even a cartoon in general, because I feel as if, like, to be fair, two cartoons, damn it, two seasons like Halloween and Christmas are the most popular ones amongst certain types of cartoons in general. Like, you got the ones that are about Christmas, and you got the ones that are for Halloween, and so on and so forth. And it's really something just to think about, and it's something that I have fun with. But sometimes you gotta sit down. What's the word I'm looking for? Oh yeah. Take out those old can't even, VHS, there we go, can't even say it. VHS tapes, blow them off, and put it in a nice old-fashioned movie like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, or Frosty the Snowman, or so on. Because those were movies, or even Charlie Brown, because those were types of movies that you could never get too old for. I mean, for example, with the Rudolph one, the two Jim and Philip, Jim and Peters, I think it was called, or Jim and Paul, I can't remember exactly, but those are honestly a timeless classic because it's about a Rudolph named Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'm sorry. It's just like I'm telling an idea from something that's blatantly in the name, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And, like, that's all stop-motion animation. I kind of question how they do it, because, like, it's like a type of models in particular. Like, they must have used, like, some kind of modeling or, like, molds with, like, wires in them, like, under the felt. And just like simple hinge movements and simple like jaw movements as well, but not like too extreme or even like painted on moving mouths too. Although I feel as if like the other ideas that they had so on were even great. Like there was Snow Miser and Heat Miser with like It's Been a Year Without a Santa Claus. Oh my gosh, that one was a good one. I remember when I was a kid, believe it or not, I actually started crying because of the one scene where it's like, I have a blue Christmas without you. I don't ask why I was crying at it. I'm a very compassionate person. And not only that, but there are like a plenty other different types of Christmas specials besides those ones. Like, not only that, there's also, with the same people, there was also like, I know that there was like New Year's at one point where I believe Rudolph and a few other characters have to save the New Year's baby. And not only that, there was also like Rudolph and like the snow wizard, and you see where I'm going with this, right? This is where it gets kind of questionable when it comes to Christmas movies sometimes, because, like, yeah, it worked before, and it's like you gotta milk it until it dries out. That's what Disney's currently doing with Marvel and Star Wars, to be honest with you. But look, I'm getting off topic. It's about Christmas, not Disney and Star Wars or Marvel. But that's another topic for another day. But furthermore, when it comes to like these types of films, it does get a bit old, or sometimes you have a different play and a different story on the topic. Like, for example, Frosty the Snowman. I remember a while ago, Cartoon Network, I believe, actually made a retelling of Frosty the Snowman, where, interestingly enough, the main character, who was an old man at one point, actually was telling the story about Frosty the Snowman. And at the end, he actually married and lived together in an old cabin with one of the other female characters in the movie. And I thought that was actually very interesting. And yet, the original is honestly quite as good as well. Now, let's get into some of the more questionable ones. And when I mean questionable, I mean, like, who the hell thought this was a good idea? And that brings me to the Star Wars Christmas special, folks. Now, granted, I should be lucky enough, but not lucky enough not to be born in the 80s and witness the horrors that was this movie and spin-off series. Now, JonTron, YouTuber extraordinaire, actually did a video on it a while ago. 6 years, I believe, or maybe more. 4 to 7 years ago. No. Yes. No. No. It was definitely more earlier. Four to three in that year average. And when he talks about it, when you see it, it's like, holy smokes, this is where all the money went into the movie. And it's absolutely insane. Furthermore, it's like, even some of the actors have a hard time even discussing the movie that it exists. And I wouldn't blame them, because it tries to be so many things that it really isn't. It tries to be like a Christmas special. It tries to be a Star Wars film. It tries to be this. It tries to be that. And it's really, really, really weird overall. And it's all about, like, Chewie's family and what they do on a daily basis. And it just looks so weird. Especially the child Wookiee, too. Not only that, but some films do kind of go in that aspect of, okay, why or who thought this was a good idea? But not all of them. Some of them, but not all. But for some that do get a bit out there, per se, like, let's go over Teen Titans Go. So really about Christmas is, instead of just the presents, it's really about being there for your family. And that's what it is. It's about being there, spending time with everyone, being happy with one another, being joyful, being grateful and happy that you do have one another by each other's side, and so on and so forth. However, even Teen Titans Go makes Christmas feel horrible, and that's saying something. Because I don't normally complain about a cartoon or blame it on a cartoon that often, and that's saying something. That's coming from me. But Teen Titans Go really took the idea of Christmas and turned it on its head, where they're like, oh, yo, Santa, why are you... I can't do a Beast Boy. But basically, they were like, holy smokes, we didn't get presents. We have to go break into the North Pole and basically stop Santa from not giving us presents. And they're like, okay, so what happens if we blow up your toy factory, Santa? Will you give us presents then? And he's like, oh, ho, ho, thank you, Titan, for making me realize that Christmas is really all about the presents. And he somehow becomes like a main villain for the Titans. And that's like, out of every character they could have came up with, Slade, the Sludge Man, or Sludge Monster, Brickface, or crap, I can't remember half of their names. Or even like any other villain. Thunder and Lightning. Thunder and Lightning. But they were first villains at one point, but then they became good. But still though, out of every other villain they could put in and actually make the show good, they decided to put in Santa Claus as the villain. Teen Titans Go, everyone. Teen Titans Go. And that's like another example of who'd have thought this was a good idea, because honestly, it kind of does destroy the original idea of Christmas, of what it should be about normally. And normally, it does have that type of idea, like giving gifts to others and being there for one another and being happy, being joyful, and being grateful for what you have and for what you not have, and so on and so forth. And a lot of cartoons do try to pull off that morals that often. Like I previously said, Frosty the Snowman or Rudolph the Road. Rudolph the Road. Rudolph the Roadrunner. Meep, meep. That would actually be a really awesome Christmas special. HBO Max, get to it. But not only that, furthermore, I would like to say that sometimes when it comes to Christmas specials too, you could find ones that are really, really, really good. And what I mean by this is one of them that I honestly find to be one of the most greatest Christmas specials I've ever seen, called Claus. So the idea is that it takes the view of a postman, a rich boy who is basically all fancy and snooty-ish, and he was born into a life of luxury. And when his dad tried to make him into a postman, he really was like, "Oh, come on, Dad. I really don't want to do that." And he was like, "But son, you need to be a postman, and I'm gonna send you to this deserted location." And he's like, "Wait, what?" But jokes aside, this honestly has the idea of what Christmas is about, like giving gifts to others, making others feel happy, being there for one another, bringing joy, spreading help, doing this, doing that, and not any of like buy this for your friend to make them feel happy, or do something like this to make them feel happy. No, wait, that ignore that last part, but you get the drift, right? And the animation, like, holy smokes, the animation is amazing. From voice acting to the characters, to this, to that, and it was like, holy smokes. Disney needs to really get back on making 2D movies, because holy smokes, there is a lot of competition nowadays when it comes to 2D animation against 3D animation. Don't get me wrong, 3D animation is good, but like, holy smokes, when you see Claus, it is absolutely another movie all on its own. And not to mention, I feel as if it has another retelling of another Jim or Paul or Ron and Paul or whatever the frick their names are again movie, where it's like the Santa Claus coming to town one, I remember, where we meet the postman and he's reading the letters and he's like, "I'll tell you why." And it gives like another idea, and that is absolutely crazy. It is an absolutely good movie. It is a movie to be seen with everyone. It's a movie to be seen by this. It's a movie to be seen by that. It is a absolutely good movie, and I highly recommend it. Go watch it. It's on Netflix. Now let's take a break for the sponsor. And we are back. So continuing on the movies from good to bad to questionable. You could even make some of these movies, even if they're good, bad, or even questionable from Christmas, into your own kind of family tradition. Like, for example, one movie that I thought that was a really good example for me, because it's currently mine and my family tradition, is watching the Polar Express. Now, you could say whichever Christmas movie you want is good. I could argue that The Polar Express is downright probably the best Christmas movie out there, in my opinion. Whereas, yes, it has like the mocap pictures, and normally after Mars Meets Mums, the mocaps really didn't go after that far, sadly. But it really was a spectacle to see. Like, it had a ton of amazing shots. It had a ton of amazing choreograph, an amazing story, a idea that about on a book that really worked. Sorry, that worked really well too. Not only that this movie has one of the best voice acting, best characters, and honestly, I would say probably one of the best mocap animations out of all the other ones, even that one, or others. Yeah. Continuing though. But furthermore, I always feel that some of the songs were always good when you listen to them, especially one where it's like the hot chocolate one. Holy smokes. I remember I would always love that one when I was a kid. And it's still pretty catchy today once you listen to it a couple of times. But like some of the scenes and animation that they've done for the movie is absolutely insane when you think about it. And someone correct me on if I'm wrong. This movie was like released somewhere between, I want to say 2006 and 2007, or 2005 and 2007, somewhere between those 3 years, or somewhere between those 2 years. And holy smokes, even for a movie that old, it still holds up extremely well today. And this is coming from a guy who said that Klaus is one of the best movies he's seen. But no, the classics is where it's at, folks. The classics is always where it's at. Although, when it comes to good things, there always has to come to other good or bad things about Christmas movies, including the questionable ones. Now, at one point in Rudolph's career, he actually did have a 3D spin-off movie known as Rudolph and the Toy Napper, where apparently this idea was before somehow Rudolph was a full-fledged adult in the original movie. He was still a little red reindeer in this one, and so was the female reindeer he had a crush on. And for some reason, out of every character that they met, hasn't really changed at all from the original. They were still the same. They were still like, "We are with you, Rudolph." And not only that, I don't know why, but I liked it as a kid. But looking back at it, it was a little bit out there compared to the original. Because, like, to be fair, it was all 3D. It was like about all looks and about like being perfect and other ones. And like Rudolph was like talking to this hippopotamus lady. I remember being like, "Can you fix my nose?" And she was like, "I can fix your nose, Rudolph." And he's like, "Oh, and second that, no, I'm fine the way I am." Despite him already learning that in the original. And that's like one of the examples where it kind of is questionable per se. And not only that, there's also like another movie called Catching Santa Claus. Now, I haven't seen it, thank God. But basically, it's like this Arctic golem, snow king man thing trying to catch Santa Claus, and along with these other kids. I haven't seen it, but that's basically the premise of it, and I would find that to be kind of weird and a little bit out there. And just as quick, let's also talk about another movie that I feel might have actually been out there to a point where it almost probably got copyright striked by the original creators, and that was Elf. Now, I am going off some parts of what I've seen from what I heard from the Netflix original series, The Christmas Movies That Made Us. I love the what so and so made us movie documentaries. Like, I love them. I think they're really good, and it's really something to learn, and it's really some things to think about, like Holy smokes, I never knew something something was from originally this, or something something was originally from that. It's honestly really interesting to learn from too. But for my surprise, after rewatching some parts of Elf and taking a look at the Christmas movies that made us, I had a hard time believing that Elf almost got copyright striked because there were some scenes and some things that were a little bit too similar per se that were to Rudolph. Like for example, just way how the elves are originally dressed. Not only that, there was also some scenes where it's like him starting from the North Pole being this misfit and then like going out onto the ice and being adrifted to shore to go find his dad. That was like also really accurate to the original movie, and it's I wouldn't have thought of it that time, but looking back at that, I'm like thinking to myself like, holy smokes, they could have gotten copyright strike. And it's honestly crazy to think about, because you would think Elf out of any kind of movie or like any other kind of your favorite shows you like to watch as a kid, or your favorite this or your favorite that, was originally inspired and took like almost shot for shot ideas from the original. I honestly had a hard time believing, but that was a thing. Now, let's talk about two more movies before I end the podcast. Two of them that are kind of considered to be Christmas movies. These two movies I'm talking about are both Die Hard and The Nightmare Before Christmas. Let us start with The Nightmare Before Christmas. Basically, this movie is made by a man named, one sec, sorry. Terrible with names. Terrible with names. Tim Burton, produced by Tim Burton and directed by Henry Selick. Sorry if I pronounced that last name wrong. Henry Selick or Selick. But furthermore, this idea follows an titular interesting character named Jack the Skeleton, who is all very prideful. He's very joyous at his work. But he soon later came to realize that Halloween is not always going to be like the. One sec. I can't talk right now. I'm sorry about that, folks. Sorry about that. I had a little bumpsy there with the recording system right now, what I have so far. But what I was trying to say is Jack is a very prideful skeleton who was very proud of his work, but he soon came to realize that like Halloween wasn't something that is going to happen forever, and he soon later became bored of the titular, oh, go over here and scare this guy, go over here and scare that guy, and so on and so forth about Halloween. So later on, when he was trotting into the forest, he stumbled across a few strange different doors. One of these doors being the door to Christmas World. And when he saw it, he opened his eyes with absolute glow and was like, holy smokes, what is this? What is this? And what is this absolutely cold stuff on the ground? And it's honestly out there. Like, it's a good movie. Especially, I honestly love the Oogie Boogie Man singing choreograph. That's honestly my favorite out of the bunch. But it's honestly a really good movie, and really, it kind of is more or less having that idea of being grateful for what you have and being grateful for what you could be able to do than wishing for what you don't have that someone else has. Because honestly, looking back at it, some parts when Jack was like trying to become Santa Claus, and eventually he did become Santa Claus, he got shot out of the sky by a freaking anti-aircraft gun. Oof, fell into a grave. And then was like, you know what? I tried my best. I am now the Pumpkin King again. It really was like a very sudden type of like realization. It was a very sudden change of character because like granted, he was like very determined to try to become Santa Claus, copying like the exact same thing that Santa Claus did, which was like building the toys, the reindeer, and then the hats, the beard, and literally him hiring three little shits that I like to call them in the movie because they are, because those little shits are little shits in Kingdom Hearts, saying, "Oh yeah, go capture this old man, but don't capture the rabbit again. Leave the rabbit out of this." And realizing at the end of it, he was like, "Oh, you know what? I gave it my best. Why not? F Christmas. I'm the Halloween guy. I've always been." And but to be honest, as much as it, like I previously just said, where it's like, be grateful for what you have and what for you don't, I kind of feel as if it's like a very sudden change to him because he was determined and so on and so forth. Now you may be thinking to yourself, "Oh, Zane, but you're acting a little bit hypocritical about this." And yeah, I kind of am. I really am. But it's still such a great movie, and it's kind of considered, when you look at it, both a Christmas and a Halloween movie, just because of the whole Halloween theme on its own entirely. And I would highly recommend watching it. Now, Die Hard, on the other hand, was probably one of the most heatedly debated things out there in cinema history, because people were like, "Oh, Die Hard is a Christmas movie," or, "Oh, Die Hard isn't." And just because Die Hard started on Christmas, sorry, that was so rude of me. Did started on Christmas, people were jumping to conclusion that it kind of was a Christmas movie. And I should know, I believe it or not, I think it was either Spike or AMC that was airing Die Hard all day last Christmas, if I'm not mistaken. But furthermore, about Die Hard, it actually did have a very interesting history because Die Hard was originally about like the exact same thing. It was a book at one point, and the guy who was in charge of writing the script and the story for Die Hard actually got into like a heated argument with his wife. He then tried to drive off. He got onto a freeway. There was like a refrigerator box on the freeway. He crashed into it. Luckily, it was empty. He didn't hurt himself. And he went back to him and apologized to his wife. And his realization was, you couldn't be grateful for what you have until it was gone. And that was the original idea. Because, like I said, he could have died if there was like an actual refrigerator in that refrigerator box. And he could have lost everything. And you should be grateful that you do have these types of things before they are gone. So, kind of is, kind of isn't a Christmas movie per se-ish. But not only that, like the idea of Die Hard was completely out there too, of who would be the leading actor. Because the original leading actor for Die Hard was, to many people, believe it or not, an absolute joke. Because many people saw him as like the snarky guy from like love movies and so on, or like the guy who's mainly a smartass or a jackass most of the time. To be honest, a lot of best characters are like that, a smartass or a jackass. Mainly smartasses. And it was really interesting because you would never think of this, because originally the original writer for the script of Die Hard, he was like, "This is my baby. I'm gonna take care of the baby." Sadly, got fired, and that script went on to another father. And he was like, and it really was sucky. And furthermore, on Die Hard, the idea of him being of the original main character for the hero in Die Hard was out there because many, surprisingly enough, a badass surviving in a tower filled with terrorists That does sound badass, but many of the badass heroes back then in the 80s or the 90s, per se, they didn't want to do him because most of the time is him hiding from the terrorists. Now, if you look at Arnold Schwarzenegger or like others, I can't remember the other famous like badasses that were actors in the 80s, I'm sorry, but if you look at Arnold Schwarzenegger or some of the other movies he was in, he was mainly like the badass Terminator and so on and so forth. And really, when you look at him, he might the original actor for the Die Hard movie, he might as well be compared to like a wimpy character, because like I said, back then no one wanted to play the wimpy character who would mainly want to hide all the time. They would want to be the character who is like going out, guns a-blazing, but it worked. It worked with this guy. It worked. I'm sorry. I am so terrible with names. I cannot remember the Die Hard actor to save my life. And yes, I am typing this down while I'm recording. I'm sorry, folks. I am absolutely horrific with names. What was the guy's name? Like, I know who I'm talking about. Like, this guy was like considered to be like a joke. No, Bruce Willis. Bruce Li Willis. That was his name. Bruce Willis. Whereas no one wanted Bruce Willis because everyone saw him as like the guy who's mainly the joking character, the smart ass, the jackass. But he works with it. Bruce Willis works with the character. It was because of his snarkiness and because of this and because of that that he makes this character work. Now, for the villain, really quick, is much of an interesting one. Whereas they got this one German actor, and he was a catch too for stellar performance of overall acting in the movie, but he had a hard time with holding a gun, from what I heard. This is also from The Movies That Made Us. Great documentary, great series. I love it. Love it. And not only that, from what I heard from the documentary, he had a hard time trying to hold the gun because like he would be either like too straight with it or too flimsy with it, and it was like an absolute clusterfuck there. And overall, Die Hard is considered one of the most greatest movies of all time and can be considered a Christmas movie because, like I said, you don't know that you have something until it's gone and you should be grateful for what you have, blah 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 blah. And it took place on December 25th, and it was a Christmas movie overall. Now, I would like to thank all of you for listening to the podcast. Now, before I end it, I just want to say, even though this year has not been the best of year per se, here's a little bit of positivity just to keep everyone a bit floating. Now, be grateful and be happy. Be grateful and be happy for what you have. Be grateful and be happy for what you could be able to do. Be grateful and be happy for anything that you can be able to do that makes you happy. Like, for example, if you want to go for a hike, go for a hike if it makes you happy. If you want to paint, do some painting if it makes you happy. If you want to talk to friends, by all means, go talk to friends. There should be no one out there who should shame you for doing something that you love to do. Because if it's a crime to have fun, then that's not really living at all now, is it? Now, I would like to thank my sponsor, as always, Anchor, for sponsoring this podcast. And remember, folks, geek is fleek.